This is an extemporaneous Christian Science prayer treatment by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute. Website mbeinstitute.org. Obviously, anything of value has to be based on truth. And from an absolute standpoint, on truth with a capital T, meaning God. The topic of this prayer treatment points to this, and the topic is truth, spiritual, substance, living life without mistakes. Matter is the opposite of spirit. Anything godlike must have a substance of spirit. Otherwise, it is a fake, something that has deceived us, a decoy, or something that is covering up, concealing, whatever it is that we are trying to find and destroy. One of the qualities of truth is eternal, as noted, and one cannot have eternal life if the focus is on a so-called material existence. To emphasize how important the word truth is throughout the textbook, Mary Baker Eddy provides three introductory quotes, and the very first one is on truth. It states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The second one is by Shakespeare. The first one were the words of Jesus. "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third and final quote is from Mary Baker Eddy. It states, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. Let this be thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." Our number one goal, no matter what we are doing or what the topic is, it should be based on truth. It is certainly easy to refer to being free to the words of the scientific statement of being. There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. If we are free from the belief of life, truth, and intelligence being in matter, we have really gained true freedom. For that was the final steps of Jesus while he was on earth, overcoming the belief of life, truth, and intelligence being in matter. Shakespeare gives us the key. Where are we directing our thinking, our conception, our perception, our understanding? The five senses are there for a very specific reason, and that is identification. We have a choice whether we're going to be stuck in a material sense of things, which of course is a false belief, or whether we're going to move up and forward in the realm of spirit that knows no limitation. Spirit is defined as pure, flawless, and transparent. Therefore, reflective. This very quality enables us to reflect all of the qualities of God. And if we strive to reflect the qualities of God, then we will be able to come into alignment with the laws of the universe. It appears that is the topic that Mary Baker Eddy refers to in her quote, which is the third quote. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. Does God have a set of ears? God is all hearing. He's all seeing, all knowing, all wisdom, all faculty, all facility, all functionality. But he certainly doesn't use a set of ears to be what he is, what it is, what God represents, because God is infinite. The definition of God on page 465, which is a chapter on recapitulation, states that God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. What part of that definition refers to substance being matter? There is nothing in Christian Science that refers to substance being matter in reality. The only reference to substance being matter is a false belief. And that's based on the compounded belief that spirit is not all. But spirit is the only substance there is. So it has to be the one, only, and all substance. Omni-substance. Omni-spirit. If we are in alignment with the laws of the universe, we're automatically going to be blessed. Because God is a joyful God. Frederick L. Rawson, one of the greatest geniuses in Christian Science, stated that our purpose in being in existence really is making other people happy. Making other people happy. That's the golden rule, whether we realize it or not. Not making ourselves happy by taking, because we're fearful that there's not enough of what we think we should have, or at least have the use of. If one wants to have the most permanent thing in the world, think about this statement by a wise individual who said that when you leave in this life, what you can take with you is everything you gave away. And what you must leave behind is everything you have taken. That's the golden rule in action. That would be a perfect model to refer to before one made a decision about any thought, speech, or action. Who is this benefiting? Am I taking or am I giving? What is my motive? Is it something I can take with me when I leave? Then that's what I want to do. And the beauty is that the greatest things that exist are those things that are infinite and can be given away, and instead of losing it when you give it away, you multiply it. That's what Solomon did. He wanted to give justice. and honesty, fairness, wisdom in all of his actions in dealing with his kingdom. He wasn't looking for something to take. He was looking for giving to everyone all the time. Following is a list of 71 words that Mary Baker Eddy uses to define truth. Abide, affirmation, appears, awakens, bread, brotherhood, calculus, casts out, chemicalization, Christian Science, Christ, claims, complete, conquers, consciousness, cross, cup, cure, dawn, deliverer, demands, demonstration, destroys, dominion, example, exemplar, that's with a capital E, expression, follow, followers, form, garment, gospel, grace, health, heals, honesty, ideal, judgment, justice, key, leads, leaven, light, makes, man, manifestation, Messiah, capital M, mission, capital M, morning, potent, reaches, reflection, remedy, resists, revelation, rock, seed, sun, that's S-O-N, star, sword, theology, treasures, triumph, true, trust, uncovers, virtue, voice, whole, way, work. There's 14 words that she uses which are the opposite of truth. Adversary, betrays, claim, counterfeit, darkness, disease, dishonesty, electricity, error, false, sickness, lie, persecution, resistance. If we understand what those terms mean, both the positive ones and the negative, and before we do anything, we can make the correct decision on whether it's going to be in alignment with truth or not. And that is both with a capital T, meaning God, and with a lowercase t, meaning what are we doing on a human level. We need to be looking at the big picture all the time. In other words, who is going to be impacted by what we're doing, thinking, or saying? Everyone that's going to have some kind of a fringe connection needs to be considered. Everyone. Not just the fringe connections, but everyone involved whatsoever. If we're going to be like a lighthouse and let our light shine, light has to be considered as being spiritual, enlightened by the truth. For God, and for each of the seven synonymous terms that define God, we have a special section on the website. So eight sections. And God really means it refers to two or more of the synonymous terms. So they're overlapping because God really is defined by the seven terms. So what do we want to focus on? The easiest way to overcome anything that is wrong is to spiritualize our thought. That means that we're seeking the truth as opposed to trying to fulfill a material sense of pleasure, no matter what the topic is, no matter who may be involved. Could truth be an alloy that would include something that is its opposite? Gold, in the form that is physical, that one can touch, is an alloy. I'm no expert on it, but I think they claim that it's like 99%+ pure. So it doesn't represent truth, because truth is flawless. The reason gold cannot be flawless is because it is a sense material. Now, one can refer to the term gold like in the Golden Rule. It's golden, but it's not gold. Golden means that it's a high value, and it's really a goal for striving for purity. If we have white paint, and there's just a little speck of dirt, or of black, or of any other color that is mixed with it, it is no longer white. The same with black. If anything is mixed with that, it is no longer totally black. We have to be focusing on the real substance, which is spirit, if we're going to be desiring to be representing the truth. Motive is considered in a court of law in order to determine whether someone is guilty or innocent. If the individual has no motive whatsoever in wrongdoing, then you've probably got the wrong individual. And I don't mean if it's a motive that can be concealed or revealed. Think about everything being transparent, where it can be seen. In fact, that's really the purpose, or should be the purpose, of determining innocence or guilt. Digging to the depth where everything is exposed. If God is all-seeing, then everything will be exposed. We need to let God do the seeing. God is doing the seeing anyway, because that's what seeing is. It's not the seeing with a set of so-called material organs. Real seeing is spiritual perception. Can we tell the difference between one thing and another? The one thing is spirit and the other is matter. Can we tell the difference between spirit and matter? How about hearing? Hearing is defined as spiritual understanding. Not understanding so-called knowledge that Mary Baker Eddy defines as being material. We're talking about truth. If we're involved in any kind of an activity, and we're desiring to compete with someone else, what should be our focus? Our focus better to be to go back to the beginning and see who this someone else is. Because if it's an individual, we're barking up the wrong tree. Our only competition in any activity is not another individual. Our competition should be perfection. We should be striving for perfection in everything we do. If we don't, we're not seeking the truth about God. We have to see the visible and conquer it before we can even approach the invisible. God is incorporeal. That's not visible. That is the quality. A number seven, is not physical. That's an example of something that's omnipresent. Music that is in perfect harmony is omnipresent. Doesn't matter where we are. If that composition is composed with only harmonious melody, it cannot have any flaws. It cannot have any mistakes, which of course is the opposite of truth. Error is a mistake. Purity, flawless, is a quality of truth. The terms for God work together in a grand network. In the northwest part of California, there are trees known as the redwood sequoia trees. They have a root system that may amaze someone because they are not deep roots. They're shallow, not far below the surface. But what is their characteristic? It is to bond with the other roots of other trees in the area. And that's why they're so strong. Unity is strength. Isolation is weakness. I met a man and his wife who had planted a redwood tree in their yard. Beautiful, beautiful tree. It was by itself. If it were in a stand with other redwood trees, it would be much stronger. The golden rule tells us what we need to do to be strong. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Not compete, but be unified with our brethren. There's a movie called Remember the Goal. And it's a high school team that was running cross country. And their coach did not teach them to win against other individuals in the race that could be considered competitors, but to strive to follow the principle of running so that they could perform in a more perfect manner than if they didn't follow the principles of running. She was emphasizing not other people in the race. She was emphasizing what is the principle of the race. What is the principle of proper running? And that can be applied to anything in our life. We can be driving a race car. We could be playing tennis. We could be in a meeting where we're trying to get a common ground recognized by everyone, so that there could be unification. Not focusing on the differences, but focusing on the sameness, the agreement. Not looking to competition, but looking to collectiveness. If two people are looking to God as their motive for everything they think, say, and do, those two individuals will become closer and closer in the way they think. They can't help it because God is out there, way away. And they're striving to get to where God is. So they're going to get closer and closer, because they really form a triangle. And as they both strive for the point, they're going to get closer and closer together. Because, not because they're focusing on getting closer and closer together, but because they're focusing on the truth. The truth about reality. As one strives to get closer and closer to understanding God, everything that is unlike God will be recognized easier, because it will become so distasteful that one will want to have nothing to do with it other than to recognize that it is error, it's a mistake, and deny that it has any power whatsoever, and then focus their thought on what does have omnipotence, because that's what God is. On 587, Mary Baker Eddy defines, that's the glossary, chapter 17 of the textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She defines the word God a little bit differently than the first one, which was on page 465, which was the chapter on recapitulation. And on 587 in the glossary, she defines God as the great I am, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love. All substance, intelligence. It has those same so important seven terms for God, but they're in a little bit different order. And she also emphasizes some of the terms within those seven that is the focus, just as in the first definition, she focused on four of the terms of incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. That doesn't change the nature of God, because they are two different definitions. It's just a little bit different view. It's like a statue in a museum that is on a table with space to walk around it so one can see a little bit different view of the same statue. That's what we do when we define God. We're looking at just a little different view. They are all in concord. As a matter of fact, she gave to her final class in the Metaphysical College in 1898 seven short prayers, which are named the Diapason of Heaven prayers. Diapason, according to the Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, means compound concord. You can't go wrong by using that word if you are looking for the terms that define God. Because if they're not in concord, they can't define God. God is divine principle, and divine principle is defined, among other things, as being always harmonious and in balance. Always harmonious and in balance. Do we want to be always harmonious and in balance? If so, we automatically have to be following the golden rule. A Pharisee asked Jesus, and he was a wealthy Pharisee. He probably was a tax collector. They skim things off the top. And he asked Jesus, he said, good master, how can I gain eternal life? He had everything that anyone could imagine in a material sense. Now he wants to have eternal life. Jesus tells the world right then in the answer whether he himself is God. Because most people look to Jesus as being God. Because somebody told them that. Probably their church. The dogma of their church. He said, "Why call me good?" The Pharisee addressed him as good master. He said, "Why call me good? There's only one good, and that is God." And then he answered the question. He says, "Sell everything thou hast, and give it to the poor, and then come follow me." We have to give up our belief that things which are permanent are material. Forget about striving to take, because anything you can take is not spiritual. No one can take something spiritual, because those are omnipresent without limit. Wentworth Winslow, another expert genius of a Christian Scientist. By the way, there's three that we know of that had 15-minute appointments. And by the time the 15 minutes was over, the healing was complete for the patient. So Wentworth Winslow was one of them. Frederick L. Rassen was another one. And Joel Goldsmith was a third one. So anyway, in this story about that was related by Wentworth Winslow, the fellow was really in trouble. So he went to heaven. He knocked on the door. An angel came to the door. The angel said, "How may I help you?" The individual said, "I have a big problem. I'm out of this, that, and the other. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can survive without him." And the angel said, "I don't know that we can give you what you want, but I'll go check. Please wait here at the door." So he thought about it. This is the angel. He said, "Now how can I give him what he wants? He wants us to replace something that he no longer has. We don't have anything that you can run out of. The only thing we have are things that are infinite in nature. You can't run out of the infinite. You can only get a broader and broader understanding of the scope of it. But there's no end to it." So he went to God and thought, "Well, I'm going to talk to God directly. Because we've got a reputation of fulfilling everybody's need. And I want to make sure that I'm barking up the right tree in what I'm about to tell this fellow." So he explains it to God. And God said, "I don't see what the problem is. Give him whatever he wants and as much of it as he wants." You see, God can give, or let's put it this way, the supply is there, meaning omnipresent, for anything that is in need, and we can have as much of it as we can conceive of. How big is our thought? A wonderful journalist who is seeking the truth before he presents it to the public. When he interviews somebody to get truth about something, he'll say, "Give me the 35,000 foot view." In other words, he wants to see the big picture and then focus on a particular aspect of it instead of the other way around. That's what this angel was doing. How in the world can I satisfy this guy's need? We have everything that is of value, and we have an unlimited supply of it. But he wants something you can run out of. And you can't run out of anything we have to offer. It's like what I told you as a quote earlier in this treatment about the fellow said that when you leave this life, you can take with you everything you've given away. And everything you've taken, you have to leave behind. Well, this guy evidently had been taking. And that's why he had to go to God himself, or attempt to go to God himself, to get more of it. Because he'd been taking. He was living in fear that there wasn't enough of what he needed. So he had to go to the source. But the source was not God for things that he could take. God is the source of only things that you can reflect. And everybody can reflect it at the same time. Everyone can use any particular mathematical number at the same time, because it's not based on matter. It is based on an idea. Are we focusing on an idea in everything we think, say, and do? Or are we focusing on taking something, being in competition for something, trying to win something against someone else who loses? Are we trying to steal, being number one? Or are we going to reflect the perfect idea of God as God's manifestation and hope that everyone else does the same thing, and in fact help them to do that if they desire your assistance? It is sharing the infinite. It's not taking away from what is available for everyone. We can't do that, because we're not the possessor. God alone is the possessor of God's qualities, which is the only thing that is permanent. Imagine having a website that everyone in all eternity, planets, every planet has the same source. And it's a website that anyone can have access to, and an infinite number of people can have access to at the same time. There's no limitation of bandwidth. Everyone can access it at the same time. That's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to think about if we are in a sports activity. Not beating someone else, but demonstrating the perfection of the principle involved, and hope that everyone else does the same thing. No one could ever be injured. Everyone would be benefited. The Queen of Sheba wanted to visit Solomon. Solomon was the king that was the son of David, the same David that slew Goliath. And she wanted to visit the king of Solomon, or King Solomon, to see if he was really as wealthy as the scuttlebutt was about him. So she decided to go there and take just a tremendous quantity of things as gifts to give to him, as if he needed it. But that was the custom. And she came back after visiting him and said his wealth is far beyond what the reputation is about him. And they said, why? She said, because not only does he have everything possible that one needs or can use, but everyone is happy. Everyone is joyful. Everyone is harmonious. It's like one big party all the time. Everyone is happy. Everyone is joyful and just couldn't have a better life. Isn't that what the Golden Rule is all about? Don't we want to cultivate the golden rule with every thought, speech, and action? When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, they are unified. You cannot love God unless you are loving your neighbor, because your neighbor is an image and likeness of God. Chapter 1 of Genesis begins at verse 26, describing exactly what man is. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And then it says, so God made man in his image and after his likeness. It's a two-step process. Number one, are we going to let the truth about ourselves and everyone else be recognized? Are we going to claim it? Are we going to accept it? Are we going to amplify it by reflecting it out into the universe of thought? Mary Baker Eddy devoted time every hour to self-examine her thought, to make sure that she only had one kind of thing she was looking for in every activity and every individual, whether it was individual, collective, or universal. And what do you think that was? Perfection. Perfection. She wanted to make sure that that was the only thing she was thinking about, everything and everyone. That's the truth. The truth about every individual is perfection. That's what we want to be free from in the quote from Jesus. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We want to be free from the belief that there's anything except perfection. We want to be so latched onto the thought of perfection that we can never lose the concept that someone is not perfect. And Mary Baker Eddy checked her own thoughts hourly. She was like Jesus. She was attacked by everyone all the time, by her own church. What did they do the day she passed on? They took her picture out of the textbook. Yeah, the final edition of 1910 had her picture in the book. And they took it out and republished it as if it wasn't even connected to her. They did everything possible to separate the discoverer from the discovery. Can you separate Mozart from one of his compositions? Can you separate God from his manifestation? We are his manifestation. Can we go off on our own and forget all about God and still be a manifestation of God? What is God going to be a manifestation of if it's not its own manifestation? God can't be God unless there's a manifestation. A manifestation can't be in existence unless there's a God. They are unified. They're not and. It's not one and something else. It is the source includes the manifestation. If it doesn't include the manifestation, then there is no God. And the manifestation is off into Never Never Land. Christian Science is defined also as a system of divine metaphysics. And on page 146, it says exactly that. Mary Baker Eddy says, divine metaphysics has now been reduced to a system. That's like mathematics. Everyone can practice it, live it, exercise it, and get the same result. It is fixed in concrete. Concrete being a symbol of permanence. If everyone can get the same result by following the principle, that's a true science. What did Einstein say about Christian Science? In fact, about all religion and all science. He says science without religion is lame, and religion without science is blind. So what does Christian Science give us? It is the only religion that gives us everything. It gives us science and it gives us religion. The religion, of course, is Christianity, and the science is the system which defines perfection. On page 330, she refers to the system of divine metaphysics again, and it says that there's a platform with 32 planks in it. And if you understand the platform and live it with both the letter and the spirit, then you will be able to demonstrate everything that comes your way. Someone was having a trouble with vision, and they sent a letter to Mary Baker Eddy, and they said, "Do you have any suggestions?" She sent a letter back. It said, "Can you focus no matter what comes your way?" In other words, is she seeking the truth? Is she looking at the truth about herself? Or if she's one that has a patient that she's attempting to assist, what is your focus? Mary Baker Eddy says, "We are barraged with mortal mind suggestions constantly. Therefore, we should have a perfect model in thought so we can immediately refer to it as being the truth and not something that is a mortal mind suggestion that is fleeting. We want something we can really put our teeth into and hold on." And that's the truth. The truth is what we always need to be having as our model. On the website, The Present Design, we have a list of definitions in the first column on the far left. That's the truth. The truth about God is there on both page 465 and 587. Definition of good is on the same page as the definition of God that I mentioned, 587, in the glossary. Chapter 17. And good is defined as God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. No wonder Jesus said that he's not good. Jesus didn't have any power. He wasn't omnipresent. He looked like you and me, two legs, two arms. Jesus always referred to God as his Father, not God as himself. He never referred to God as himself. The only clue that he had a really close connection with God is when he said, "My Father and I are one." Meaning he was at one in consciousness, just like we can be one in consciousness, if we let ourselves reflect the goodness of God in all thought, speech, and action. Are we going to do it? It's available. Mr. Winslow said, think about being in a room. On one side is a telephone that's ringing its head off, trying to get our attention. On the other side is a radio. Well, in today's era, it would be the internet. That is announcing only the qualities of God, the facts, no theories, just the facts about God. Which one are we going to listen to? Are we going to pick up the phone? It's like opening the door to a salesman that you don't really want to hear and letting him get his foot in the door so that you can't close it. And you finally give up and you let him in. Boy, if we let mortal mind in, we're in big trouble. Because it's a lot easier to let mortal mind into our thought than it is to get rid of it. Because it tries to entice us in every way possible. How can we solve the problem about being influenced by a material sense of anything? By turning the focus on the opposite. Flipping it. There was a gardener that was well educated and just exercised his knowledge about gardening to the utmost. He was focusing on the perfect garden. Not competition, but the perfect garden. And every once in a while there would be a plant that would be missing from his garden. And the gardener next door, he wasn't that good of a gardener, so he was real good at stealing, because he would do it at night. But the gardener knew where the plant had gone. And so somebody visited him one day and said, "Wow, you've got a really beautiful garden. But what's with this hole here? Are you in the process of planting something else?" He said, "Well, the plant that was there is in the garden next door. He's my best friend, and he has that plant." He said, "Well, why do you call him your best friend?" He said, "Because he reminds me that I have to be alert in the way I'm thinking about anyone and everything. And I always have to keep the perfect concept of everyone, just like I try to do with all these plants." So he flips it. He uses an act of evil as a reminder of the opposite that he needs to be focusing on. That's what Mary Baker Eddy did. Every hour when she prayed, she was attacked by this one and that one all the time. In fact, she would not permit a phone to be installed in her home, even though it had been invented by that time, 115 years ago. In fact, probably more than that, 120 or 25 years. She would not permit it to be installed because she said it is an avenue of spreading mortal mind suggestions. Think of that. When we pick up the phone, or when we answer a cell phone, or when we look at an internet, or listen to a newscast, are we careful to filter, to make sure that it is the truth as opposed to its opposite? The title of this prayer treatment is Truth, Spiritual Substance, Living Life Without Mistakes. How are we going to do that? If we are running cross country, can we do it without a mistake? If we worry about winning, or worry about where the competition is, then we are off track. But if we focus on striving for perfection, and seeing others in that very same race also capable of striving for perfection, that's practicing the golden rule. Can we ever lose by practicing the golden rule? Never, ever, ever. Can't lose when you're striving for perfection. Cannot lose. So is that what we're going to do? I mentioned that Mary Baker Eddy gave her class of 1898 7 prayer treatments called Diapason of Heaven, one for each of the 7 terms for God. This prayer treatment will close by reciting the Diapason of Heaven with a focus on truth. And the only thing that will follow after that will be a statement of the date and time, just as a record on when this prayer treatment was delivered. And as noted in the beginning, this is extemporaneous. So, if you listen to one of these prayer treatments, and we have over 400 of them already, we keep adding to them all the time. So, if you listen to one of these, you never know what you're going to hear. It depends on how open the thought is as it's delivered. Because we're expecting fresh thoughts all the time. And that's what we all need to do. There's no limit to God. God is infinite. And it's so much fun when we let our thought be guided by the infinite. Because we never know what's going to come next. But we know one thing, that one concept will build upon another. And we're going to build our foundation so it'll be so solid that it will benefit all mankind. And all we have to do is be that lighthouse to let it shine. It's not our light, it's the light of truth, the light of spirit, spiritual substance, not matter. The kind of light that we can take with us when we go on to the next level. We don't have to leave it behind when we give it away, because we multiply it. It's a calculus that never gets smaller with its conclusion, the result of applying the calculus, but it's always more grand than it was the time before. No matter how many times we read the textbook, every single time we will gain an abundance of new concepts, abundance of new understanding. And if you want to learn how to heal everything that comes your way, we give you the formula on the website. You can look at the top of the website in the header or at the bottom in the footer. And there's a link that says heal everything. And we tell you exactly how to do it. And if you follow that discipline, you will have success. Why can we say that? Because at the end of the textbook, pages 600 to 700, which is 101 pages, there are 85 testifiers who give healings of 486 problems. And this is how they healed. And we just give you a few extra goodies because we now have technology to make things that weren't very easy back in those days. But it will give you the result of healing. Try it, and you'll find out. If you give it a half a chance by following the discipline that is required, you will find your entire life is transformed. It will affect not only you, but everyone whose your thought rests upon. And of course, our focus is not to have it rest on other people necessarily, but you will be in communication with other people just in your normal activities throughout the day. And if you're really following the system of divine metaphysics, as Mary Baker Eddy gives it to us in Science and Health and her other writings, you will be blessing all mankind. Here is the diapason of heaven with a focus on truth. Truth is a sacred name for God. We must divest it of all materiality. Declare often, truth is my God, and my God is truth. Good is my truth, and my truth is good. Truth is enthroned in my consciousness. Error and materiality are not enthroned. This is the word of God. Amen. It is December 1, 2025 at 0602. This is Monday morning. Thank you for listening to this prayer treatment, which has been extemporaneous, on the topic of truth, spiritual substance, living life without mistakes. The end.